Welcome to the Cryptid Corner, the podcast where we discuss some of your favorite tales, cryptids, monsters, and more, and exactly how they came to be what we know them as today. As always, guys, I'm your host, Casey. Welcome to episode 21 of the Cryptid Corner. First episode of 2021. Hopefully this year's going to be a lot better than 2020 was. I hope everyone's had a safe New Year's and had a great Christmas, and everyone, you know, was able to have a good time despite all the restrictions and traveling problems all over the place, and hopefully it's been good for everyone. So this week we're going to do something a little bit different. We've been focusing mainly on creatures and not so much legends and lores, and so I've decided to do the Fountain of Youth for the first episode of 2021. And so we'll dive right in. So the Fountain of Youth is known to be like a mythical spring that restores the youth of anyone who drinks or bathes in its waters. But it's widely known and associated with Ponce de Leon in Florida, and so we're just going to dig through the history of this and kind of see how it's got to be as well known and exactly how much Ponce de Leon actually had to do with it. So, tales of the sacred restorative waters existed well before the birth of the Spanish conquistador Juan Ponce de Leon around 1474. Alexander the Great, for example, was said to have come across a healing river of paradise in the 4th century BC, and similar legends cropped up in such locations as the Canary Islands, Japan, Polynesia, and England as well. During the Middle Ages, some Europeans even believed in mythical King Prester John, whose kingdom allegedly contained a fountain of youth and a river of gold. You can trace that up until today, said Ryan K. Smith, a history professor at Virginia Commonwealth University. People are still touting miracles and cures of waters, and you know, just like tales of like the snake oil salesman is pretty much a con artist, but you know, it's still something that's commonly used today as they refer to water or liquid for miracle cures. Spanish sources asserted that the Taino Indians, if I said that correctly, I'm not entirely sure, it's T-A-I-N-O, Taino. Taino Indians of the Caribbean also spoke of a magical fountain and rejuvenating river that existed somewhere north of Cuba. These rumors conceivably reached the ears of Ponce de Leon, who was thought to have accompanied Christopher Columbus on his second voyage to the New World in 1493. After helping brutally crush the Taino Rebellion on Hispaniola in 1504, Ponce de Leon was granted a provincial governorship of hundreds of acres of land. That's a really hard word to say, provincial. he was granted the governorship in hundreds of acres of land, where he used forced Indian labor to raise crops and livestock. In 1508, he received royal permission to colonize San Juan Bautista, which is now Puerto Rico. He became the island's first governor a year later, but was soon pushed out of power with a struggle with Christopher Columbus's son, Diego. Having remained in good graces of King Ferdinand, Ponce de Leon received a contract in 1512 to explore and settle an island called Bimini, B-I-M-I-N-I, Bimini. Nowhere in either this contract or the follow-up contract was the Fountain of Youth mentioned whatsoever, but by contrast, specific instructions were given by subjugating the Indians and divvying up any gold that was found. Although he may have claimed to know certain secrets, Ponce de Leon likewise never brought up the fountain in his known correspondence with Ferdinand. What Ponce is really looking for is islands that will be become a part of what he hopes that would have been a very profitable assets like the islands to have for his new governorship, said J. Michael Francis, a history professor at the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg. From everything I can gather, he was not at all interested or believed that he would find some kind of miraculous spring or lake body of water. At least one historian suggests that perhaps Ferdinand, who had recently married a woman 35 years his junior, she's quite a bit younger, told Ponce de Leon to keep his eye out for it. But in other words, the experts dispute this, though. Either way, Ponce de Leon set sail in March of 1513 with three ships. According to early historians, he anchored off the eastern coast of Florida on April 2nd and came ashore a day later, choosing the name La Florida in part because it was the Easter season, Pascua, Florida in Spanish. Sorry, really choppy through that. Sorry, guys. Ponce de Leon then journeyed down through the Florida Keys and up the western coast, where he skirmished with Indians before beginning a roundabout journey back to Puerto Rico. Along with along the way, he reportedly discovered the Gulf Stream, which proved to be the fastest route for sailing back to Europe. We'll talk more about Ponce de Leon and his journeys and how he became to be affiliated with the Fountain of Youth when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Cryptic Corner. 8 years later, Ponce de Leon returned to Florida's southwestern coast in an attempt to establish a colony, but he was mortally wounded by an Indian arrow. Just before leaving, he sent letters to his new king, Charles V, and to the future Pope, Adrian VI. Once again, the explorer made no mention of the Fountain of Youth, focusing instead on his desire to settle the land, spread Christianity, and discover whether Florida was an island or a peninsula. No log of either voyage has survived, and no archaeological footprint has ever been uncovered. Nonetheless, historians begin linking Ponce de Leon with the Fountain of Youth not long after his death. In 1535, Gonzalo Fernandez accused Ponce de Leon of sneaking the fountain seeking the fountain in order to cure his sexual impotence. He was being discredited as an idiot and weakling, Smith explained. This is a machismo culture in Spain at the height of the Counter-Reformation. The accusation is almost certainly untrue, Smith added, since Ponce de Leon fathered several children and was under 40 years old at the time of his first expedition, so it's highly unlikely that he was seeking the fountain to cure his impotence because he is obviously bearing children. Hernando de Escalante Fontanada. Sorry, I'm having a really hard time pronouncing that, but let's just move right on. Who lived with the Indians of Florida for many years after surviving a shipwreck also derided Ponce de Leon in his 1575 memoir, saying it was a cause for merriment that he sought out the Fountain of Youth. One of the next authors to weigh in was Antonio de Herrera, the Spanish king's chief historian of the Indies. In 1601, he penned and detailed the widely read account of Ponce de Leon's first voyage, although Herrera only referred to the Fountain of Youth in passing, writing that it turned old men to boys. He helped solidify it in the public's imagination. There are really more entertaining than attempts to write a true story, Francis said of these works. The Fountain of Youth legend was now alive and well. It did not gain much traction in the United States, however, until the Spanish ceded Florida in 1819. Famous writers of the time, such as Washington Irving, who we've mentioned before in previous episodes, you know, regarding like the Headless Horseman, Washington Irving then began portraying Ponce de Leon as hapless and vain. Artists also got in the act, including Thomas Moran, who painted an oversized canvas of Ponce de Leon meeting with Indians. By the early 20th century, a statue of the explorer had been placed in the central plaza of Florida's oldest city, St. Augustine, and a nearby tourist attraction pretended to be the actual Fountain of Youth. To this day, tens of thousands of visitors come every year to sample the sulfur-smelling well water. It does not taste good, said Smith, who worked there for 4 days in college. He only worked there for 4 days, and that was long enough to be like, hey, this isn't good. Imagine what you think the Fountain of Youth would taste like. It doesn't taste like that, he could also be quoted saying. Meanwhile, some grade school textbooks continue to present Ponce de Leon's search for the fountain as a historical fact. While we find that to be not even the case, it was hardly mentioned through his logs and voyages, and historically, it was never really mentioned that Ponce de Leon was searching for that. But it's held now as a historical fact, and so that kind of widely spread and birthed the idea and sparked the imagination for the Fountain of Youth in many people's minds. In 2013, Ponce de Leon was back in the spotlight. In the celebration of his 500th anniversary of his landing, reenactments took place in St. Augustine and Melbourne Beach, Florida, both of which claimed to be the site where he first dropped anchor. There was also a Catholic Mass in St. Augustine featuring a replica of the 15th century font used to baptize him in Spain and Mass in Melbourne Beach, along with the unveiling of more statues and a commemorative stamp for Ponce de Leon regarding the Fountain of Youth. So that's all we have today at the Crypto Corner for the Fountain of Youth. And I know today's episode has been a lot different, but it's kind of a chop up from the pace. You know, we do I intend to do creatures, lores, myths, legends, all of that stuff. So there's gonna be a little bit of different content spawning out from the Crypto Corner, especially heading into 2021 to keep it a little more interesting for everybody. Just to mention again, the Crypto Corner is proud to be sponsored by Audible. If you haven't heard about Audible, it's a place where you can go and have selections of thousands and thousands of different audiobooks to choose from. They also host podcasts as well, so the Crypto Corner can be found there, as well as other podcasts that I personally like to listen to. I'm still panning through different audiobooks to kind of find what I like, but it's a very great place to sample through different podcasts and find audiobooks through. If you'd like to get started with a 30-day free trial of Audible, you can do that using my custom URL, which is audibletrial.com/thecrypticcorner. That'll get you started with your 30-day free trial, as well as a free audiobook that's yours to keep whether you continue through with your subscription or not. Also, just want to add in that the Cryptic Merch store is still up and going. You can get all your Cryptic Merch there. That's at www.crypticmerch.com. Also, there are some items that are out of stock as of right now, and then there's a couple of hoodies that are, but you know, I'm working with a partner to get those back in stock as quickly as possible, you know, so that way you have all the options to choose from there. And also, I'll be working on new designs to include into the, you know, the Cryptic Merch store, and to be printed on all the Cryptic Merch going into 2021. So hopefully there'll be some new exciting designs coming soon to the Cryptic Merch store. Once again, my name's Casey, and I've been your host, and more importantly, stay creepy.